It's the Ricochet Effect. Ricochet Effect.
Greetings, all. This is Dr. Abini El-Amin with the Ricochet Effect. I'm hoping that you are doing well today, and I am joined here in the studio here at WUKY with Dr. Valerie Yerger. She's a licensed naturopathic doctor and a recently retired professor in health policy at the University of California, San Francisco. She's also a founding member of the African American Tobacco Control Leadership Council, or what we affectionately say is and as the AATCLC. The overarching goal of Dr. Yerger's work is to frame the disproportionate burden of tobacco among marginalized communities as a social injustice and to inform public health policies so they effectively reach these communities. Greetings, Dr. Yerger. Thank you so much for being in studio with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Dr. Abini. It's a pleasure to be here in this beautiful state of Kentucky. I'm loving it. I'm already thinking about maybe I can come visit here more often. I love the way I'm feeling being here in your space. I am an example of a jigsaw puzzle. I have varying parts of my background that, if looked at separately, don't make a heck of a lot of sense. But then when you put the pieces together, you get an appreciation for who I am and what has been helping me to thrive in this world. I started off wanting to go to medical school. I was a student, graduated from the University of California at Berkeley. But by the time I had graduated, I had a child who had a really severe case of eczema that kept me and her father and my family up at night, and we weren't getting any help from her pediatrician. And he one day said that he had never known anybody to die from eczema, so for us to just get our act together and stop complaining. And that did something to me. It made me really consider what going into what we call allopathic medical, what medicine would do for someone who believed that I had a right to be heard by my medical doctor. And that eventually led me to find naturopathic medicine, where I felt like I could become a physician and really incorporate what's happening at the family and why they need help that goes beyond just the physical symptoms that you see in a patient. And so I am today, as a naturopathic doctor, I've been licensed since I graduated in 1992, but I actually haven't been doing any clinical work for almost 25 years because I was bit by the policy bug back in the late 90s, and I was working at the University of California at San Francisco, needed a job because I found myself a single mother of four children. And I was brought onto this project that had been recently funded to look at tobacco industry documents. And nobody was looking at the documents in terms of African American communities. And so there was a niche there for me. And I started to see things that really turned my world around. And I understood how important it was for me to put my clinical desires on the back burner and really consider what I was seeing in these documents, like how to help other people see what I was seeing. And what I was uncovering was just the systematic approach that tobacco companies use to predatorily target African American communities across this country. And it wasn't just a practice of one tobacco company. It was all of the major tobacco companies were doing something to get into the Black community. And not only that, what was also revealed in these documents is that the tobacco companies were studying each other and they were competing against each other in the Black community. And this was something that I was totally unaware of. I had lost my grandmother to tobacco-related disease. My mother would eventually die from the diseases that she had related to her smoking, as was the case with my father. And all of these individuals that I was very much in love with were dealing on some level with a tobacco-related disease, and I had no idea that it wasn't their fault that they died. It was because of the systems that had been placed by these companies that were profiting off of our Black bodies.
Mm-hmm. So, to really go back just a tad bit and for us to think about exactly who the African American Tobacco Control Leadership Council is, or like I said, affectionately call it the AATCLC, and soon you will too. But this coalition and this council, rather, was developed to inform and influence the direction of tobacco control as it affects the lives of African American and African immigrant communities. It is clear that in so many cases that the media and what we call big tobacco has guided people's own health behavior towards menthol products, tobacco products. Here in Central Kentucky and with Project Ricochet, we always say stop the vape. So these vaping products, either way, these products, they cause harm, very significant harm to the body. The AATCLC also works at the intersection of social injustice and public health policy, working with health jurisdictions, elected officials, community-based organizations, tobacco researchers, activists, faith-based communities, and the media to play a key role in elevating the once obscure issue of regulating the sale of menthol and flavored tobacco products to one of national concern and action. Which actually brings me to this point and a question that is burning. So what evidence have you seen beyond even that which you've experienced in your own family that confirms industries are still targeting Black communities in deliberate strategic ways?
Well, the evidence is that these products are still on the market. And one of the things that I think is important to understand why the AATCLC even came about to begin with is because we, members of the AATCLC, in some sort of fashion, were already working together. I was in academia. Dr. Phil Gardner, at the time, was at the Office of the President for the University of California, where he was a program officer and was helping projects to get funded to do their research. So he was very much aware of the research questions that were out there and the researchers. And then Carol Magruder had been in the community doing tobacco control for years, even before I met her in the early 2000s. And so we were already in this space, had some sort of interactions, but there were many of us who were working in silos. We were being funded in some sort of way to do tobacco control, and we were just all kind of functioning as we were starting to come across of how serious this issue was. And so one of the things that happened in the state of California is that those projects that had been funded to work with the African-American community, along with other communities that were considered high priority, no longer were being funded. And so we were at a conference together in the state in 2008 as we were talking about what are we going to do so that we can sustain the work that we've been doing for years and now we don't have any funding. And that was at the point that we decided to create the African American Tobacco Control Leadership Council. So all the things that you've mentioned about how successful the AATCLC has become in interacting with these various spaces, the policymakers, the community leaders, is because we come with a vast, diverse background. And we have all been able to come into the AATCLC as whole individuals. And we have leveraged where we've been, what the work that we've done in the past, so that we could become very focused and moving forward, specifically around menthol cigarettes. Because when we're talking about Black folks who smoke, what we're talking about is the use of menthol cigarettes. And that was the aggressive campaigns that the tobacco industry was utilizing in the Black communities was to promote the menthol cigarette. And we can go into more about why that was, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background about the AATCLC. We came together for a common good, and we happen to respect each other. We treat each other with love and respect. And it hasn't always been an easy battle for us because we've been up against a lot and since 2008 when we were created. But the fact that we are still together is because we are very focused and we know what our goal is. And this is what we bring to the table, all of our experience, interactions, and background.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm excited about is, and so my introduction to the AATCLC was through Quantum Leap. And as one of the cohorts within Quantum Leap in 2025, it was just really wonderful to be supported. So we traveled to Oakland, California, and for several days we met with other leaders in the United States to really address the issues of menthol policy and partnering. This organization, its tagline is Saving Black Lives. But I can tell you by working with this organization that, of course, the goal is to save all lives, but we must look at Black lives, because if we don't, then who will? Dr. Yeager, we definitely want to thank you so much for being here on The Ricochet Effects. This is Dr. Abini Elamine. Take care and be well.